listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So Championship Sunday, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Mike Tenier joins us, Pro Football Network, to preview the two games at both Arrowhead Stadium and Lambeau Field. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. I got one eye on the games. I've got one eye on the coaching search. I don't know which way to look this time of year.
Yeah, that's right. That's very true. Let's get to the week six matchups between these two. These two teams, you know, both of these guys played against each other in week six. I've been asking this question all week to guys like you who really study the matchups, really study the ins and outs of these games. Does anything from week six in either one of these games this weekend is something you're looking to, or is it something you just throw out the window?
There's a degree to which you just want to throw them out the window, particularly Buccaneers packs, because we saw the pack look great this weekend. We saw the Buccaneers kind of struggle for most of the game and pull away at the end. And it's very different from that that blowout that we saw earlier in the week, earlier in the year. I guess the one thing I take away is the Packers had one of those games where they started making mistakes after they took a 10-0 lead, and it snowballed on them. And we haven't seen Packers snowball games very much this year, but we've seen them all the time in the playoffs. We've seen so many playoff games where it's like, oh, one thing went wrong, and next thing you know, their defense can't line up anymore, and the opponents are running 80 yards of pop on them. So, you know, there's still a chance that happens in that game. And the other one, what I remember about that, and I did go back and look at it, the Bills played a very conservative game on both sides of the ball. They were like, you know, let's deflate the ball and keep it out of Mahomes' hands. And the Chiefs just ran wild on them. Edwards-Helaire ran for like 160 yards or whatever on them. I don't think anything like that is happening. I think it's a much more confident Bills team, and therefore I think it's going to be a very different game.
In looking at the Packers and the Buccaneers, we say this all the time about Brady, and we've been doing it for two decades. If you can get pressure up the middle, you can bother him enough to throw his game off. Can Green Bay do that?
You know, they're not the best pressure off the middle team. They're pressure off the edge team. But they've got guys up the middle. They got Kenny Clark and some other dudes like that who can apply that pressure. What you don't want to do, you know, it's fine to say the guys in the middle are okay, and then Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith are causing more mayhem off the edge, and you can run stunts and things to do that. One thing you don't want to do is blitz. You don't want to try and do all these exotic coverages, because Brady is still Brady when it comes to that. He, more than ever, he can pick that apart. That's one of the things that happened in the previous matchup. Mike Pettine, defensive coordinator of the Packers, you know, he was dropping different guys in the coverage. He was rushing three. He was sending guys from these strange angles. You use those strange angles against the young quarterbacks. You don't use it against Brady. Against Brady, it's like tight man or like straightforward zones, four-man rush, win against win. And I think if the Packers can do that, then I think they're actually going to roll in this game, and I think they're capable of doing that.
Yeah, on the flip side, the Buccaneers in that Week 6 match have played a lot of zone. It's a chess match, so we know what you did. Yep. You make an adjustment. We make an adjustment. But in the end, what do the Bucs do against Rodgers?
You know what? You do play those zones. You try to take away Devontae Adams, and you try to make him beat you with everyone else. And one thing we saw in the second half of the season, we saw Robert Tonyan emerge at tight end as sort of an all-purpose threat. We saw Rodgers work within the offense a little more and be a little more confident checking the ball down and then being more methodical rather than moving the ball in 40-yard chunks. And he's got a little more confidence in Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Lazard. And sometimes those guys repay that confidence with touchdowns, and sometimes they drop touchdowns. So, you know, you can one reason they play in a lot of zone, I think, especially in the second half, is they got a lead. So the main thing is to try to make the Packers beat you without Devontae Adams or with little Devontae Adams as possible. It's not a surefire recipe. That's what the Rams tried, but it's the best avenue towards having success.
Have you noticed with Brady in this Buccaneers team that's so loaded with weapons, does he lean towards one or two particular guys? Has he done a good job of spreading out this wealth?
He's done an outstanding job of spreading the wealth. And, you know, he did that a lot in New England. He just did not have a lot of wealth because the receiving corps got worse every year starting in, like, 2011. You'll see him lean for the deep passes on Evans and Godwin up the sidelines. But you'll see how they'll design things for the guys we think of as the slot guys, you know, the Millers and the Watsons and whoever's healthy out of that group. You know, they'll set up wheel routes up the sidelines for those guys. He'll distribute the ball under the knees. He's very confident throwing to these running backs, even though they drop the ball a lot. He'll throw it to Fournette on third down near the goal line. He'll throw it to Ronald Jones, even though Jones will, like, bat the ball to the ground almost. So he's doing a fine job of that. There's no way you can beat the Buccaneers by saying, oh, just take away Antonio Brown or just take away Godwin or take away Mike Evans.
The Bucs go into this game on a 6-game win streak. There was a period of time where we were questioning them, and there was how was the relationship between Brady and Arians. But if they changed, or did they just forgot that stuff and just kind of do what they do, if they changed in the last part of the season?
Not really. I mean, one thing is they did play easier opponents for a while.
And, sure.
You know, sometimes that helps. When you're playing the Falcons defense twice in 3 weeks, you can figure some things out. I don't think there was any fundamental change, like Aaron's and Brady had to really hash things out or anything. If you watch their offense, they're still handing off a ton on first downs, and they're still throwing the ball deep a lot. It's not like they turned this into like some Patriots offense. What I think happened is, again, easier opponents were part of it. I think if you watch the Saints game, they struggled for a while, so it's not like they figured everything out against better defenses. It's just they've kept doing what they were doing. They stayed the course. They made little improvements, incremental improvements along the way, and those improvements, with the help of a great defense, have a really good offensive line, all those things combined, started to really yield dividends.
All right, let's go to the AFC, and so much will be depending on Patrick Mahomes' availability. So we'll spend most of the time pretending like he's going to play, or at least hype, you know, predicting that he'll play. Yeah. But if he doesn't, Chad Henne, how much will the run game be for the Kansas City Chiefs if Chad Henne is the starter?
You know, they'll be aggressive no matter what. If Chad Henne is out there, they're going to try to throw the ball downfield, et cetera. It's just they're going to be limited. The one thing they're not going to do is, and we saw that at the end of the Browns game, they're not going to go into turtle mode and say, okay, run on first down, run
right,
on second down.
Right,
and, right. But, you know, if Chad Henne plays, the Bills become the favorites and probably the heavy favorites in this game. You know, Henne's a professional journeyman quarterback. Everything the Chiefs do is predicated about having Patrick Mahomes back there, his accuracy, his mobility, his ability to scratch the itches, 45 yards downfield on the run, all of those things. If they don't have that, the Chiefs are obviously in huge trouble.
All right, so if Mahomes does play, is the Bills' chance to win this game just saying, look, let's get in an offensive firepower back and forth, and let's hope a mistake happens on the other side?
Well, let's hope the mistake happens and wait for the mistake to happen, because they happen with the Chiefs, and then capitalize on the mistake. So if the Chiefs have one of those drives where they commit 3 holding penalties and have to punt, which happens a lot with them, they have these penalty sprees because they're doing so much complicated stuff. One guy jumps off sides, one guy holds, goes downfield on the screen, whatever. That happens, you get the ball, you have to convert that into a touchdown. If they miss a field goal, you have to go the other way and score. If they miss a fourth down conversion because instead of running off tackle, they try the triple reverse, which, again, is one of those things the Chiefs like to do, then you have to turn around and score. So you have to score. You have to have the firepower. You have to try and get some stops on defense. But when they hand you a stop, because the Chiefs, a couple times a game, will hand you a stop, you have to exploit right away, because that's your opportunity to tilt the game.
If you go with the strategy of let's try to keep Mahomes off the field, let's run some clock, the Bills don't really do that, right?
No, I mean, they don't. They're not a very good running team, frankly. And what will happen, you'll see late in games, they remain aggressive. Last year, even earlier in the season, you would see them try to run. Now the confidence in Allen is high. The confidence in Diggs and Beasley is high, and they're going to do that. It's kind of a moot point, because unless Henne's out there, I don't see the Bills mounting a huge lead in this game. You know,
yeah.
If they've got a 7-point lead, then they're going to try to remain balanced. They might try to do things to kill the clock. One thing every team learned this postseason is you're not going to play conservative in the fourth quarter and win. You can't beat the Chiefs that way. You can't beat the Bills that way. You can't beat these NFC teams that way. You can't punt. You can't try to run the ball out when there's 9:43 to play in the fourth quarter. Nobody's going to attempt those strategies because they'll get burned by them.
You know, I know Stephon Diggs' addition changes the way you can play the position, but boy, Josh Allen really is a different quarterback than his first few years in the league.
Absolutely, and it's very unusual to see that kind of broad-based growth in a quarterback. You see little things here, little things there, across 3 seasons, consistently changing all the things he can do. His accuracy, his decision-making get better and better, and we might still see that in the year 4. What you've got this game, I mean, you do not have Patrick Mahomes. He's the best right now, and you don't have Aaron Rodgers' experience. You have as outstanding a young quarterback as you can ask for in this game, somebody who can make plays with his legs if asked to, dive for a 4th-and-1 if he asked to, dive at the goal line, add that component to it. Everything you can ask for in a quarterback, the Bills have it, and they know it now. They're not limiting things for Josh Allen, and that's going to be a big benefit for them in this game.
It gets overlooked a lot because of Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs' defense, what would it do? What does it need to do against Buffalo?
You know, the Chiefs' defense is outstanding on 3rd-and-long. It's outstanding when you're starting to play catch-up against them because you're playing into their hands. They want to just tee off on pass rush and look for interceptions. That's what they want to do. If you're running the ball consistently on them, you're going to get like chunks of yardage on the ground. If they're you're staying balanced against them and on schedule, they're going to have a hard time on second and short, third and short. So the Bills are going to probably try to do all those things. Obviously, you don't want to get into a situation where you have to throw all the time. So, you know, one thing that teams what I'm trying to say, the Chiefs have kept teams in the game throughout the year. We know how many times they only won by 6 or 7 points. But late in the game on those final drives, their defense is lethal because it is opportunistic, because they are ball hawking, and because they are sack happy. And that's one of the little secret weapons the Chiefs have is, oh, you think you're just a touchdown away and you can play catch up. It's easier said than done.
Mike Tenier joining us, Pro Football Network. Let's get to a coaching situation in the NFL with Houston. They are still on the still looking for. Is it going to be Eric Bieniemy because it's kind of late, and it's probably what they're waiting for?
I hope that it's going to be Eric Bieniemy, and that's what they're waiting for, and that they realize that they have to dig themselves out of a hole with Deshaun Watson, with the trust in the locker room, with the trust, you know, around the league circles with how they ran their hiring process. I think that's what's going to happen. Here's the thing with the Texans. You do not create a problem like they've created over the last month unless you are so stubborn that you don't think it's a problem.
Right.
And I have a real concern that they're going to turn around and hire whoever they want to hire, and it's not going to be somebody that, you know, Deshaun Watson prefers. It's not going to be somebody that, like, looks as qualified, even close as qualified as Bieniemy, but it's somebody that Jack Easterby really likes because he's, you know, he has a secret handshake or whatever that's all about. So that's the concern. That's the concern in Houston right now, and I think that's very possible.
Nick Sirianni of Indianapolis, I didn't know he was even up for coaching jobs. He wasn't among the early names that was up. Where did this guy come from, and how did he land the Eagles gig?
Well, one thing, credit to the Eagles in general for interviewing about 80 people.
Sure.
Like, if you watch the – yeah, they interviewed the world. And what happened was, well, Frank Reich, head coach Frank Reich, his word has a lot of sway with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. He recommended his young assistant. And also, if you read between the lines of what's going on, they didn't want to get rid of Doug Peterson. They wanted a Doug Peterson who they could control, who didn't have success, who didn't have a Super Bowl ring, who didn't have a contract to say, if you fire me, I still can get paid for a year and I'll just go back next year. And that's what was going on. You know, Peterson had his own plan for doing things. He wanted his own assistance. He wanted more say. He wasn't sold on Carson Wentz. So I think the Eagles were looking for, get us a Doug Peterson who is still hungry and is still going to do what we tell him to do organizational-wise. And if we tell him, you got to fix Carson Wentz, he'll come in and try to fix Carson Wentz. And I think that's what they got. They got a guy with a very similar resume from the similar coaching tree who just happens to be a lot younger and isn't well-known and will have to answer to the owner and the general manager.
That is a brilliant way to look at that hire. That is an excellent way to look. Mike, great stuff. Really appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You got it. Take care and enjoy your weekend, folks.
You got it. Mike Tenier of Pro Football Network on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right. It is a typical sports radio thing, but we're going to do it. Predictions on the weekend coming up next on Wake Up Call.